Hello and welcome to the final episode of the Not Just a Lawyer podcast for 2022. It has been an eventful year. I'm recording this podcast on the traditional lands of the Ngunnawal and Ngambri people. I pay my respects to their elders past, present and emerging, and I acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded. This episode is a brief reflection on some important things I have come across this year in my studies and personal life, and a reflection on the most important thing I've learned this year. Before I get started, I will be talking about health, good health and bad health, being ill. I want you to know that I'm not healthist. I'm talking about a perspective that I developed because of a situation that was challenging to me, and I'm not in any way trying to put forward the value that being healthy is something that should be demanded of people. It's just a situation that arose in my life that made my life a bit tricky, that led me to come to my most important understanding from 2022. So, as some of you will know, I made the really interesting and some would say crazy decision to step out of law. I finished up at the end of the last financial year and I moved into full-time study as a physiotherapist. I had had the idea to transition out of law for a little while, but I wanted to check whether studying physiotherapy was really something that I would prefer to do. And having studied a few semesters, I know that it is. With law, I still love law. I have great affection for the legal community. I have great respect for the legal profession. It's just that the main thing about being a lawyer that I really enjoyed from a technical perspective was advocacy, and I had just lost my love of appearing in court. And given that it is the bread and butter of a criminal lawyer, and it's the thing that was one of the highlights of the technical part of my job, I just thought, well, it might be time to look at something else. I didn't lose the desire to help people or have deep conversations with people and listen to people. I can still do that in physiotherapy. So I just thought it would be time to try something different. And I'm really glad that I have. One of the first things that I learned, it's not the great reflection that I've had, but one of the first things that I learned is that there are excellent human beings out there who donate their bodies to science after they pass away. And I had the great privilege of working with human specimens when I was studying advanced functional anatomy. Basically, it's a human anatomy course where you are looking at bodies and looking at muscles and ligaments and bones and things on actual human specimens. It is one of the best ways to be able to actually see how things are structured in the human body. So obviously very grateful to the people who do that. And on a related note, I think it's a good time to give a plug to Donate Life, which is the organ donor registry in Australia. Organ donation is really important. I have been affected by organ donation in the circle of my friends, and I know everyone is very grateful to the donor and their family. So you can join the donor register at any time, and I'll have the link to that register in my show notes. But basically, it's very easy. It's Donate Life. Easy, easy to remember. DonateLife.gov.au. Donate Life is all one word. So very grateful to that. If you are not an organ donor, please have a think about it. Have a chat with your family about it. Make sure they know your wishes and see if you can get an organ donor card. I've been on the register for ages, but I didn't have a card. I have recently got one. I feel a lot of peace of mind about having that. The next great thing that I've learned is that I have some new skills in cardiothoracic physiotherapy, which sounds really fancy, but it's really not. It's just a big word meaning your heart and your chest. And your lungs. So one thing that I've learned, super simple, if someone's in hospital for a lot of different surgeries, chest, abdomen, cardio, things like that, they're probably going to be asked to get out of bed at a time that is quite shocking to them. They might have been just in the theater the day before and someone might be asking them, hey, come for a walk. Now, you might be thinking, my God, if I were in that situation, all I would want to do is sleep and bugger off, please. Well, I've learned that mobilizing out of bed, that's the fancy word for getting out of bed, mobilizing, more than 10 meters away from the bed can greatly reduce the risk of post-operative pulmonary complications. That means stuff to do with your lungs. Did you know that simply getting on the operating table for surgery can often lead for your lungs to collapse just a little bit? If you've got pre-existing things going on, or you had a really long anesthesia period, or maybe you went in there with some lung issues to start with, then that can be worsened. There are lots of things that can be helped by just getting out of bed and moving more than 10 meters away from your bed. And whether that's on crutches or using a frame because you feel a bit unsteady, or with the help of a nurse or a physio or a couple of loved ones, like, that's spectacular, and that will do wonders for reducing your risks. Other things that you can do if you can't do that walk, like maybe your blood pressure's a bit funny after surgery, or you're just actually not feeling that great and you really don't think you can walk, just standing at the side of your bed so that you can sit down if you need to, or marching on the spot next to your bed, or even getting out of your bed to sit upright in a chair, they can all do amazing things for you. So I maybe sound hyperbolic, but it's really good for you. And this is not from a yay, everyone should exercise perspective. It's from the perspective of it sitting upright lets your lungs expand downwards. It gives more room for air to circulate, because believe it or not, your abdomen can get in the way when you're sitting in a slumped position and stop your lungs from being able to fully expand. So just things like that. Really cool stuff that's really simple, and I'm absolutely stoked to have learnt it. The main reflection that I have for this year, though, and this part is why I made the really important caveat at the start that this is not me being healthiest. Like, I do not demand anyone be healthy at any point in time. I'm simply reflecting on a health issue that I've had. I've been really lucky. I've had ups and downs with my health, but nothing as serious as what happened this semester. Not going to go into the nature of what it is, but I had a really tough health situation, and it happened in semester two of 2022. I talk in semesters now because I'm back at uni, and because it was pretty overwhelming and had a lot of significant side effects, it meant that it was really hard for me to actually study. Like, I could attend lectures, I could sort of go to type up my lecture notes, but I wasn't able to retain anything, and stuff just wasn't going into my brain like it normally would, because my body had so much other stuff going on that it was probably focused on that. So I'm very harsh on myself. I'm someone who feels the strong drive to push through any troubles, to be obstinately self-reliant, and to just try and do extra work when things are not working that well. So I was getting closer and closer to exams, and also I had the absolute privilege and delight of being able to have a wedding reception during this semester. I got married last year during COVID, and we had to just sort of do the legal ceremony because people couldn't come. So we had deferred that, and yeah, it was great. But having a wedding that you love and are really organized for coming up, and also trying to study some stuff that's fairly complicated in terms of, you know, remembering normal values for people's blood gases and temperatures and heart rates and breathing rates and blood pressure, all sorts of things. When you've got a lot of things to rote learn, you've got a wedding coming up, you have practical exams where you have to practice on actual people doing physio skills, and you're having trouble getting it nailed down in your brain because your body's doing weird stuff, that's pretty stressful. I'm used to high stress though from being a lawyer, so I was like, that's fine, I'll just work extra hard and get through it. But I was getting really freaked out, and yeah, I was chatting to my mum pretty shortly before the wedding, and she was like, oh, it's a shame you can't defer your exams. And I was like, well, I actually can, I just don't think I should. And she was like, why? I was like, well, I don't think it's fair on all the students. Like, everyone's tired and stressed. I can see that people are really worn out because they're doing like so many units and different ones to me and more complicated, and why should I get special treatment? And she was like, I think you should talk to your doctor. So I did. I went and had a chat to my medical treatment provider, and he was very much on board with me seeking to defer the exams until I'd had time to recover from my illness and be able to take in a bit of the material that wasn't sinking in because I had so much health stuff going on. I would not have done that. Like, I knew it was available. I would not have done it. It's just that someone in my life giving me an extra push towards it, it made me think, oh, well, like, I am actually greatly distressed. If I could admit that to myself, like, I am greatly distressed. I've been ignoring it. It has sucked a lot. And I'm worried about how I'm going to perform. But I just thought I just have to keep going with this because that's what I do. But yeah, look, having that push from someone else and then having a doctor validate, no, you should really do this, was quite eye-opening for me. I'm someone who carries a lot of fears internally about what I'm actually like. So to the outside world, I achieve pretty highly. I am very personable. I can talk good. Thank you. But inside I harbor fears that I'm of a poor work ethic, that I'm oversensitive, that I'm not putting in enough effort, that my feelings of distress, concern, whatever, aren't valid, that I'm just not trying hard enough. I know everyone calls that imposter syndrome, and yeah, guilty as charged as a criminal lawyer, I can say that. So you have all these internal fears that stop you from taking action that might actually be well-founded, as it turns out. If your doctor says, yeah, you should do that, then you know, yeah, okay, that is a valid concern. So yes, I had my exams deferred. I've recently sat them. I think I did well. I felt good about them during them. I felt like I'd had adequate preparation. I felt like I'd had time to come to grips with the material that was being tested, that I'd had enough times to rehearse my physical skills for my exams with actual humans. And what I had really feared is that perhaps my lecturers would think all of the bad things that I thought about myself, like that they would think I was weak, that they would think I had a poor work ethic or poor time management, that they might think I was just, I don't know, trying to play the system to get extra time. But, that is utterly not the case. When you're in the middle of a health issue, whether it's physical or mental, and I would suggest if you've got a significant physical health issue going on, you probably are going to have mental health sequelae as well. So I would say they're all connected. But yeah, if you've got something significant going on that's really taking up your focus and stopping you from being able to do what you're actually aiming to do in life, there is nothing wrong with asking for an accommodation to be made. So in my case, it was seeking the deferral of my exams to a date that would allow me to recover from my illness and then be able to study. And I'm really glad I did that. I wasn't treated badly. No one looked down upon me. I feel good about what I was able to do. And having come out the other end of being unwell and, you know, having that affect my thinking processes and my perspectives on things, I'm really glad that I took my mum's advice and chatted to a doctor. I had limited the options for myself. I'd written some of them off, partly out of, you know, personal hubris and partly out of all of the personal sensitivities that I mentioned before. But also, just when your brain's like trying to contend with an illness, like you're not well, it's focused on that stuff. It's not necessarily focused on making the best choices for you in the situation. As I said, like all of my sort of significant fears about myself, the fundamental things that just don't really go away no matter what you do in life, they were at the forefront. I guess my brain didn't have the capacity to think rationally and creatively about solutions. It was just very fixated on how crappy I was feeling, basically, and I guess making choices about things that didn't really get me out of out of the hole I was in. So yeah, being on the other side, I have absolutely no regrets about asking for I guess, special treatment, if you want to put it that way. I know it's within the parameters of what is supposed to happen at uni, but for me, I hadn't had to do that before. Maybe I had to, who knows, but I certainly had never done it before. And I felt terrible about it, but on the other side, I feel great about it. If you've got anything going on in your life where you know that there's a decision you could make or an outcome that you could pursue that is actually in your best interests, but you're too scared to do it because you think that it will play into all the fears that you have about yourself. If there is one skerrick of possibility that maybe you're just thinking like that because your situation has got you a bit down in the dumps, I would urge you to run by a loved one, like a family member, friend, chosen family, psychologist, if you have one maybe, or a GP, just someone that you trust. Run it by them and see what they say. Odds are high, I think, that if you're in the middle of something that's making you feel pretty crappy, that someone else might have either a solution that you haven't thought of, or they might give some more validity to an option that you've thought of and dismissed because I guess the negative voices in your head are telling you that you shouldn't do it. Sometimes we feel like we should meet standards that we would never expect anyone else to meet. So I guess my reflection for 2022, I'm getting ahead of myself, is that you should leave your comfort zone. And I know when a lot of people say that, they're like, try new things, take risks, blah, blah, blah. Nope, I just mean if there's something that you can do for your own comfort and welfare, but that you're scared to do or you think will make you look bad, get out of your comfort zone and take that step. If there's something important to you and taking that step is going to help you achieve a bigger goal or, you know, get through something hard with more peace of mind, then get out of your comfort zone and take that step. I'm so glad that I did. I have absolutely no regrets. And as I said, when you're out the other side, you'll probably feel really differently about the choices that you have made. I'm not going to lie and say I didn't feel bad about making the choice to ask for a deferred exam. I still had doubts about what I'd done. I felt kind of weak. I was worried that I had a poor work ethic. All the bad things that the voices in my head say to me. But now that I'm not actively sick anymore, those fears and doubts have gone. And I really do feel like I am happy and have a weight taken off my shoulders because that was just one thing that I got to take off my plate for a little while we tidied everything else up, if I want to use a kitchen analogy. I think I botched that kitchen and cooking analogy, but you know what I mean. So for 2023, my goal is going to be to try to have actual relaxation time. I know from my studies that minimizing stress where possible is really important. I'm terrible at relaxing, so I want to make 2023 the year where I stop having so much difficulty with that. And if you feel that that's like something you experience too, let's go ahead with that goal together for 2023. I want to finish on a totally different note. You might be wondering why I haven't commented on a few things that have cropped up in the news recently, legal-wise. There are a few sensational cases and reports going on, various things. I don't talk about things that are in the news simply because they're popular. I try to restrict my podcasts to issues on which I have something to add. I don't want to comment on prominent things just for the sake of commenting. If I don't have anything to add, if I don't think I have a perspective to bring, or if I don't think there's some legal issue that I can tease out for the general public, then I just don't. So that's why you will hear silence from me, if one can hear silence on certain things that have been cropping up lately. Hopefully that addresses any head scratches that might have been out there about why I haven't made any podcasts recently. I want to urge you all to look after yourselves during the festive season, and to thank you for listening to my long-winded ramble about what I have learned this year. Look, sometimes I think telling a story is the best way to give people information, and hopefully you've found it useful. I know that for someone like me who is a perfectionist and tries to achieve, you know, as high as I can in anything I do, it can be really difficult to be persuaded to do anything that might seem slightly different to that. So hopefully just sharing a bit of myself and what I've had to do this year might give you some freedom. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Not Just a Lawyer podcast. I hope it's made you think. I hope it's made you feel empowered to do things that you might need to do to look after yourself, even if they require you stepping way out of your comfort zone. I can almost promise you, but look, I'm a lawyer, so no promises. I can almost promise you that it's not going to turn out as badly as you think. And more likely, you're actually going to learn some positive things about the people around you and about asking for help when normally you would really prefer to be obstinately self-reliant like me. Best wishes for the festive season. Stay safe, relax, and I'll talk to you in 2023.